in fear and said, "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered and said, the angel appeared to him, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up before God as a memorial offering." So God even sees the unbeliever in their giving and something of a salvation that comes through. He found salvation. God answered him because he gave. And a story I heard once, there was a lady, maybe if I've said it before, I apologize. A lady that was in Amsterdam that was a Brazilian who landed up in the prostitution game. But she had been taught back in Brazil to tithe. And even in that profession that was not right, she was tithing. And you know what actually happened? She got saved. And I'm telling you, I believe it was because she honored God with the tithe. God honored her. And there's something in our giving that God honors you. I don't understand the detail behind it, because it belongs to Him. It's holy unto the Lord. And when you give to Him, He does something on your behalf that you don't even know. I know Malachi tells us that He protects us and He opens up the windows of heaven. But there's just something when we honor God what is with His, and we start to learn like who He is, this generous God, and we start to give, wow, something starts to happen. So I encourage you today, your Lord is actually watching you when you give. And we want to institute, because there's something, I want to do it, we haven't worked it out clearly. Most of us are paying our money to God by EFT. And I want to do maybe once a month, we get together, we fill in a piece of paper, and we come to the front and we have a basket here, and you just as an act of your worship come and say, "Lord, I've given to you." There's just something, I know we sit at the computer, ting, ting, and it's gone through, great and wonderful, keep on doing it that way. But let's do it here as we honor God, because it is our worship to Him. Let's come and maybe we'll do it once a month, beginning of the month, the second week of the month, we'll come together here and we'll come and say, "Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we can give to you." Is that fine with you? Can we do that? Because we want to honor the Lord in what He's doing in our lives. Amen. That's money matters. Money matters. Money matters. I want to continue today, and we continue with the Lord's Prayer, and I really believe what God wants to share with us today is something profound. I want to just get this presentation up for you. Is that working? The Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. As I've been studying this portion, it's really opened up my heart, and I really do believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal something here today about temptation and the depth of what it is and how God actually uses it. We're all subject to temptation. If you're a human being, you'll be subject to temptation, and yet God has got a heart for us. And here the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, and I've always thought, what does this really mean? It's like been a nebulous thing in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not in temptation. And I'm just trusting today that the Lord will just guide us and direct us and open up an understanding of what it means, lead us not into temptation. So that comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, lead us not into temptation. The understanding behind this is that, firstly, we need to understand, what is it not to grieve the Holy Spirit? Artie Kendall and some of these profound theologians have been teaching us and really worked on our hearts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32, I read it to you. It says here, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And here this aspect of that we're living in the presence of God, all of us, and the Holy Spirit is come to live inside of us. When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit is within us. He's a person, God, that lives inside of us. And here Paul says to the Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying to us is that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's person God, and he has feelings. And what are the things that actually upset him? And here the Bible tells us quite clearly, it starts with bitterness. And we all sometimes, in where we get to, if we start to have umbrage in our hearts and get into, as the Bible says here, rage and anger, brawling and slander, and every form of malice, starts to create a bitterness in us. This grieves the Holy Spirit. I don't believe the Holy Spirit leaves us, but we do lose something of His presence. when we start to get into a place where we grieve him. We lose a place of clear thinking. We lose the peace of God in our hearts. And I'm sure we've all been there. I have been there, absolutely, that I know the presence of God, but when the presence of God lifts, I know I've done something, and we need to get our places restored. But another thing that hurts him is unforgiveness. And, you know, we have to work out relationships, and we've preached on that, is that we need to work out forgiveness. We need to learn to forgive, and especially those that are married couples will find out very quickly is that that your marriage is not always made in heaven. It's not. You've got to work out, and you have things to work out, and iron sharpens iron. And when you work these things out, sometimes there's misunderstanding. We get misconstrued. And how do we work those things out? We learn to forgive. And when we learn to forgive in the home and with our children and with our spouses, it goes into the outside world. And the world we live in at the moment is quite a hard place. Relationships aren't important, and people walk over people, and we get burnt. But how do we deal with those things? We've got to learn to forgive. And I'm sure every one of you have been challenged in that area to walk in forgiveness. And I want to say to you, please, I want to encourage you, learn to forgive quickly. And then also not only to forgive the others, but forgive yourself. If you've done something wrong and you've hurt others, will you please forgive yourself also? I think that's imperative in the thing, because otherwise you will walk with a limp and you won't be able to walk in the fullness that God has got for you. And then there's another aspect that hurts and grieves the Holy Spirit, is sexual temptation. The world has become a breeding ground of sexual temptation like never before. I know it's always been there, but I think the internet and what the internet has done has opened up the world to this area of sexual temptation where it's never been before. It's a problem, and we got to be aware of that as the church, and we got to be aware of that of individuals. There's stuff happening out there that the profanity that it out there has increased. I stand corrected, but the internet, the proportion of the internet that is earmarked to pornography is possibly over a third of the internet belongs to pornography. That's how much out there that actually is. It might even be more. I stand corrected. I remember reading that stat. So firstly, lead us not into temptation. We've got to walk in a place of an ungrieved Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, that's a challenge. Every single one of us. Walking moment by moment with God, we all miss it, and we've got to work with that thing. You know, we slur, we say things, we judgmental, we criticize, and that grieves the Holy Spirit. And we've got to get back to a place where we walk in the peace of God all the time. And when we can get into that place, now we can start to look at this, lead us not into temptation. There's a mystery of this petition. It's an unusual petition. And I want to firstly deal with it where it comes to, say, temptation. Now, the Greek word that is used there, perosmon, it means temptation, testing, and trial. And it can be separate or it can be all three at the same time. Temptation, testing, trial, all three. Secondly, this is a strange request asking God not to lead us into temptation or testing and trial, which implies God may well lead us into temptation. Not that he tempts us, but he will allow temptation or testing and a trial to come. But his heart behind this is not that you fall into temptation, but sometimes, and we're going to learn a bit more about that, God allows these things because there's a wonderful outworking of growing you in Christ when these things actually happen to you. Temptation, first point. God does not tempt anyone. But here in James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So the Bible here in James is telling us that the Lord does not tempt you, but within us. And I want to say we are redeemed. We've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, and we are a new creation. But you have a body that is mortal, that's got to die. And there's still the passions and the desires within your body. I can't fathom it where it is, but we all have these things within us that entice us to do things that are uncontrary to God's ways. And we have got a fight ahead of us to stop that thing. So there's internal, there's issues, and there's external that also impact us when it comes to this area of temptation. And we've got to work those things out. In James chapter 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Persevere under the trial. So this is important, is that even though when temptation comes, we have to persevere through the trial. And I want to say there's a test that comes through it. And the promise here is that there'll be a crown of life. So a lot of the times, can I say, when we face temptation or trials or testing, we see it as a negative. We consider that God is not in this and God hasn't allowed this and we're unworthy for this and God just take it away. I don't want this. And we like with our coffee, we want to just put it instantaneously, Nescafe, and it's instant coffee, take it away. But obviously it doesn't happen that way, because we belong to a God that doesn't work that way, and he puts things across our path, and there's something when this happens to our lives, we have to work through it. We have to persevere through it. And every one of you, I'm telling you now, every one of you are going to face these things, or maybe even going through these things now, and you've got to persevere through it, because here the scripture says there's a test. There's a test. And the test is, all I know is you pass or you fail. And we pass or we fail. And I failed much when these tests have actually come. I failed much, but God is gracious and he picks us up again. But the promise is here is that when we pass the test, we will receive the crown of life. Yes, maybe not receive it here on earth, but we'll receive it in heaven. We will receive from our Father, because God has promised us that. Then number point, testing. In James chapter 2, chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." It seems that these testings and these trials are beneficial. They're not negative. Even though they seem to be bad, they are beneficial, because God is using them for the good. And they are training you in righteousness. They're training you to trust God. I think we are predisposed not to trust God. I really do believe that. We get on, and when life's going nice and it's wonderful, and what happens? We don't really trust God. We get on with our selfish ways. And we want God to continue to bless us. But when these trials and these testings come, we get on our knees and we start to trust God and we start to believe God. And actually, that's the place he wants us to be. He wants us to be dependent upon him. And that's why it's beneficial, because these trials come to build something in us. And the scripture says here, consider it pure joy. When you're going through that stuff, that ain't pure joy. But the scripture's telling us, consider it pure joy. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." There it says, when you are tempted, even if it's your outworking of your flesh that's working in your life, God will provide a way out. We've got to be cognitive of that and not trying to work it out our own way. We've got to be trusting the Lord as he's within us, that he's got a way out for us. And we've got to be working that, because so often when we get to those positions, we try and work out our own solutions. Am I right? I'm like that. We try and work, how are we going to get out of this thing? Instead of turning to the Lord, "Lord, how am I going to get out of this?" It happened the other day. I got into a situation and I said, "Lord, I can't deal with this. I don't know how to work this thing." And I'm calling upon you. And I said, "Lord, please, please, please help me." And I'm telling you, God just came in like a flood like that, and all of a sudden the strength came, the ability came, because it's an internal battle that takes place within all of us, and I was able to overcome. You know, Revelation says to he who overcomes. And you know, this just builds character, because God is more committed to your character so much more than your comfort. And you see, he's working character in us, and these things come across your life. And all of us have got a different road to walk. And we got to walk that road. And when we face those different trials and things, we got to dignify what God's put across our path. And when we walk that and we allow God to work it out in our lives, and we go through that and we become overcomers, there's a reward ahead of us. But if we take that trial that come in and we say, well, I'm going to run away from this thing, maybe you're dishonoring God in that process. I want to just say, honor God in that thing and walk it. I really believe God puts mountains in our paths, not to remove the mountain, but to climb the mountain and to get over the mountain. And there's a journey that you walk with God when he does it. He walks with you in that you become victorious. And you start to learn things about yourself that you never knew before. God knows who you are, and you know how he created you, but you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. And God's got to bring these things across your path to reveal who you are and who he is. And when you start to do that, you start to find out who you really are. It takes some difficult time to actually reveal what comes out of your mouth. Go through conflict. Have a relational issue and see what comes out of your mouth. That's a trial, God testing you to see what's really there. And sometimes you need to go through that to actually reveal what's in your heart. And when you get revealed in your heart, then you get on your knees and you realize, yo, I'm not in the right place. And God, help me. And God starts to read and says, there I am. And he starts to teach you Christ. He starts to teach you the way of love. He starts to teach you to walk in gentleness. None of you are perfect, and neither am I. But we are work in progress, and God is working with us, because God wants to make a finished product out of every one of you. He is committed to every one of you, and he's committed to the day that you close your eyes and go with him to be in glory. He's committed to work out the fullness of Christ in you. And he wants to reveal Christ to you. And how is he going to do it? He's going to use testing, and he's going to use trials in your life. And if, you know, the world tells us that we must have plain sailing, I've got news for you. The world's not great out of there. And our lives, we're going to go through some stuff. In South Africa, we are facing some stuff. The world is facing some stuff. Things are getting tighter and tougher. And that's a reality. But praise God, he's going to take us through that. We're going to be overcomers in that. It's not something to shrink back and say, well, woe is me, this is not the good old days. We're going to get through that, and we're going to be prosperous, and God is going to, we're going to see the provision of God. We're going to see his hand of grace, but we're going to go through it. And I want to just say, you're not meant to always to go through it alone. God has placed you in the body of Christ. That's why it's so important that we gather together, that we have fellowship with one. You were not created to walk this life alone. That's why God puts us in families. That's why he puts us in the family of God. That's why he puts us in the body of Christ. That's why we need to fellowship with one another, because you will go through difficulties. And when you do go through these trials and difficulties and temptations, you need others to hold your hands up. We've been through a tough time with Nikki, but I thank God for you. You've carried us through your prayers and your support and your love. And Nikki's getting better. But we've needed you, and you need one another. And that's why when you get out there and you get miff and the miff tree with the church, it's wrong. Sort those issues out and get back into the church and get back into fellowship, because God brings the outworking of life in the sense of community. James' view of test and trial is that we need to stand the test, and then we will receive the crown. There's something of this testing also that I just want to bring across, is that there seems to be the testing, as I said earlier, comes in this area of sexual lust. And I think it's paramount in the church, and it's not been addressed. is that every one of us are prone to sexual lust. God has given us natural desires, but the devil comes and your flesh comes to bring lust. And unfortunately, this is a fight that we all got to fight. And I think the Lord Jesus in himself had to fight these things, that it says that he faced all temptations that we faced and overcame them and was pure in every way. But we have to learn to overcome sexual temptation. Billy Graham makes a stat and says 75% of God's best servants get trapped by the devil through sexual sin. It's prevalent in the church. We have hidden it, and we say it doesn't real, but it's real. Sexual temptation is real to every single one of us. And I want to say to you men, I'm not exempt. And we need to be sometimes more transparent about these things and work these things out, because we say it's a taboo topic to actually talk about. And yes, we need to do it with honoring and respectful, but I think this is something that many men are facing, have never dealt with. It's hidden. And I think there's got to be a forum that we've got to be able to talk about these things and share, because we see scattered through the scripture is that sexual temptation comes at every level. We see in Genesis, I was just doing some reading on this, and they said even the temptation that came to Eve was in a sense a seduction to lead her astray from not to eat from the tree of life. It was something of the deception that came. It says in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, but I'm afraid just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, this deception comes, it's a the other translations uses beguile, which means to enchant, to charm, to lead away, deceptive. And that deception is out there. It's a spirit, it's an evil spirit out there, and there are men and women that operate in that spirit, and we are all prone to those things. We were watching a movie the other day, and this man, it was a fiction movie, he came out of the 1800s, and he came back to our time, and he was walking around, and this young girl was talking about in the way she dressed, and she was just storming nesting, but her shirt was open a bit, and he ran, and he went, no, you can't dress like that. And you know, that is true, is because today the seduction is out there, is so real. You know, you walk down, drive down the highway, and he has these seductive adverts that are right there in front of your eyes. We take it for granted, but seduction is out there. The devil is trapping. You know, ladies, pray for your husbands. Pray for the men, because you don't know what they're going through. We are human, and we've got natural desires, and these things come across us, and we've got to say no to ungodliness. But sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough. These things are not easy to say no to. And with these spirits that keep coming, we've got to fight this fight. Men, I want to just say to us today, we need to be more transparent with one another. And where we need help in these things, we need to be praying for one another in this. We see with Joseph, and Potiphar's wife came there to seduce him. And what did Joseph do? He ran for his life. I see the ladies smiling. I don't see the men smiling. He ran for his life. He said, no, I can't do that. He ran, and he got into trouble, and he landed up in prison because she used and said all lies about him. David, I have such a regard for David. And you know what God did through David? If I looked from the area of worship and I looked to David, I don't think I'll ever get to the level where David is from a person in worship. But my goodness, he let his eyes stray. And he fell for Bathsheba. He shouldn't be up there looking at a woman bathing. And he was, and he fell. And not only did he fall with that, he created murder out of the thing, because it seems when you fall into that thing, you lose your marbles. And you do all the wrong things. Solomon, the wisest man, I was reading the other day, God gave him such wisdom about the animals and the birds and that. But my perspective, he had a problem with lust. It says the Bible he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Poor man. Poor man. Thank the Lord he said one wife.
One wife.
And it says the Bible, he fell away from God. He loved God initially, but then he started to worship their gods. And it moved away. When you get into that brokenness of a sexual aspect, it leads to temptation and leads to temptation of foreign gods. We don't want that to happen. We see in the New Testament, we see in Romans, we see about the shameful relationships between men and men and women. And Romans 1:26 says, because of this, God gave over to shameful lusts, even with women exchanged their natural relations for unnatural ones. God loves men and women, but he hates. Can I just say it's an abomination to God, homosexuality. It's a major problem in society. Our children are being bombarded with homosexuality at this moment, like you cannot believe. And I know society is embracing it, and we've got the LGBT, and hear my heart behind the thing. They are people we love, but we cannot embrace that because it's not God's way. And God's word is true, and we must love them. Please hear my heart. If you've got family members involved in that, please do not judge them. Love them, but tell them the truth. Tell them the truth, and tell them that God loves them, and I know God wants to deliver them of that thing. Because it's a spirit that comes in, and we got to be in a place to do that. You know, also I just want an observation that I see what's happening. When it comes to couples today, and especially young couples today, is that this whole value system of getting married is not a value system anymore. Marriage has lost its value. So what they do, they shack up together, they get in the same place, and they start to test the waters, even though their hearts might be pure. I'm telling you now, they pray in the prayer, Lord, lead me into temptation. They are. They're opening up their hearts and their lives to brokenness. They're not praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation. They're opening up and they're creating opportunities for themselves to be tempted and to fall. And I want to just say is when it comes to the church, we need to stop that. And I hear my heart when I'm saying this thing is that if you've got family members that are doing that, and it's not always my responsibility, we prayed for the fathers today. Fathers, you need to take up your role and stand your ground and say no to ungodliness. Do it loving, do it gently, but say no. Because we stand for a king and his kingdom and for his ways, and his ways are true and his way are blessing, and we need to say stop it. I think sometimes fathers have negated, we've got a problem in society because fathers haven't risen up and told the truth. That was the strength of the years gone by. Fathers rose up and said no. You know, we're expecting the mothers to do these things today. The mothers are the strength. That's a lie. Husbands, husbands, rise up and say no to ungodliness. What are some of the other temptations that we can face? Success. Success can be your greatest downfall. It's not always the best thing that can ever happen to you. I was just reading yesterday in the News 24, Katy Perry has got 100 million followers on Twitter now. That's a difficult place to be because everyone is watching you and you think you're great, but actually it might be the worst place in the world to be. So I want to just say success sometimes can be a major problem. Temptations when it comes to money. I think money, you're going to be all tested when it comes to money. In your integrity before God, honoring him, in integrity, in honoring. Can I just say, are you paying your taxes? There's an integrity that we got to have. You better be paying your taxes. And I want to say to you, if you sign an agreement to pay your debt 30 days, will you honor that? I know they're not paying you, but will you honor it? You made the commitment, and will you honor them if you said 30 days you're going to pay? Pay. That's the integrity. That's a test for you. And I think too many Christian businesses are running like the rest of the world. The never, never. We can't do that. We can't do that. God will test you in your money. I just remember I went to the Pick and Pay once, and the lady I paid with cash, and she gave me change. And I saw she overpaid me. And there was the test. What would I do? Oh, she didn't know. I put it in my pocket. And the test was there. No, no, we do things with integrity. Okay, I gave back her money. That was her. And she said, thank you very much. It wasn't her test, it was my test. It was my test. And you'll be tested when it comes to finances. Another test is intellectualism. We've put a major emphasis on education, and I think education is very important. But sometimes education can get to the point where it can be a place of temptation. You want more and more and more when it comes to education. Just be aware of that. Pride. Pride can be a test. Is that selfishness gets in the way, and it's all about you. And I heard this 2 weeks ago. Jesus was not his own man. He did everything his Father told him to do. Everything his Father told him to do. And even when he went to the cross, he said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And I want to just say this thing of selfishness and pride, and I battle with selfishness, and I know you battling with it. And we need to say no to that thing and don't let that get in the way. Power. If you're not mature enough, power will corrupt you. It will corrupt you. It will put things, and we see that in the dictatorships that have taken place throughout the world, and these men and these women that rule and reign, and it messes them up. But it can happen even in our lives. Where you work in, it can even happen in the church. Can I say, sometimes this pulpit, not necessarily here, and I believe not here, but pulpits in the church have become a power place, and it has been a place where it's abused people. And can I just say to you today, on behalf of Jesus, if you've been abused by those in the pulpit today, I apologize on their behalf. And I ask you to please receive your forgiveness. If you've been hurt by leaders in the church, I don't know what went down. I don't know what went down, but I'm asking you, will you please forgive them? And I want to say, if we have hurt you in any way, please forgive us. Please forgive us. We cannot have that in the church. Amen. Let's walk with freedom and liberty going forward. Okay, I got ahead of myself. Jesus was tempted by the devil. So if the Lord Jesus himself was put into the desert to be tempted, so will you. But I want to just say an important thing. Jesus wasn't tempted when he was 12 years old. Jesus was tempted when he was 30 years old. So there was something in a preparation that God was preparing Jesus, even himself, that when he was ready, he was tempted. And that's where this prayer becomes so important. Lead us not into temptation. The actual meaning, I believe, is that you praying that you will not be prematurely tested or put into a trial or brought into temptation, because you may not have the maturity to deal with it. And if you haven't got the maturity to deal with it, you are going to fail. That's why I want to just say, parents, you better be preparing your children for sexual temptation. There are too many teenage pregnancies out there. There are too many broken relationships out there at a young age, and we've got to be preparing them to say no to these things, because they are not mature enough to do that. And I want to say to you, parents, you still have your authority over them. If you know that party is a drunken party and there's sordidness and stuff there, don't allow them to go there. You still have a right to say no. And if your kids are getting drunk by going to everything, you need to say no to that. It's not godly. We need to put a standard up, and we need to guard. Parents, you have a responsibility. Yes, they need to obey you, but you have a responsibility to guide them and to lead them in these things. Protect them as much as you can. And yes, then they have to make their own decisions. But be firm in those areas. Don't be legalistic, but be firm in bringing them through. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he was able to help those who are being tempted. Call on Jesus when you are tempted. I said earlier, don't try and work it out in your own strength. Hebrews 4:15 says, For we do not have an high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Our biggest problem, we don't turn to Jesus. We turn to ourselves and we try and work these things out. Hebrews 5:19, it says, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Yeah, we need to turn to Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. He will save you in that time. He's not only Lord, he's Savior, and he's still saving. He saved you from sin, yes, but he will save you from temptation. If you turn to him, he will set you free. God knows when we are ready. And as I said earlier, we need to be in a place of maturity. And if God, when you pray that prayer, comes and says, no, you need to go through it, he knows, he wants to mature you, and he says, now's your time to walk through those things. And I haven't always asked for these trials and that to come, but they have come. But I must now, I've had to come to acknowledge this, the Lord is saying to me and to you, now you are ready to be able to walk through this trial, or this testing, or this temptation, and you'll have the maturity to go forward. You see, Jesus lived a life totally pleasing to the Father, yet he was always resisting the devil. Not only here, when we see going into the desert, was he resisting the devil. He resisted the devil right through his life. And I think it's an aspect that we haven't learned in all our lives, that when these things actually come, we need to resist the devil. God's not going to do it on our behalf. We need to submit to God, yes, but we need to resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7, we need to be doing that. Next point, we are responsible for our own temptation. And I want to just say, you take the bull by the horns. Don't let it get on top of you. And if you can't handle it yourself, go and get to a brother and sister and work it out and pray through the thing. I just share about a book, I don't know if you remember, Finishing Strong. There was a man married, very happily married, working in a company, had a secretary, and had a good relationship with her. But what was happening, nothing sexual was taking place, but they were getting emotionally tagged. There was an emotional thing that was actually happening. And the man was very honest, and he went back to his wife, and he said to his wife, this is what's actually happening. I can feel my emotions are getting drawn to this woman. There's nothing between us, and I don't want it to happen, but it's happening. They prayed. Went back to work, it still continued. And eventually they continued to pray, and he said, you know what, there's a value that I have. My marriage is more important than this relationship that's actually happening and pulling me away. He resigned. They moved cities, and he got a job that was paying less, because he knew where that was going to go. And I think that's honoring in the process, that we need to work out when temptation comes to you. It is serious. You know, I want to just say, when temptation comes against you, it's not something sweet. It's like a snake about to bite you. And you have to deal with it, especially temptation when we know it's coming from the devil. You need to be aware of it. Don't play with it. You're not going to win. It's going to bite you. And we've all done that. We've all done that. We've all been there. We play with this thing. And we think, oh, we can handle this thing. We can handle it. And what happens? And you get bitten. Am I right? Every single one of us. And yeah. The main purpose of testing is to increase our faith. So whether you're going through temptation or testing or trial, I want to just say that God wants the very best for you. But through this, he wants to increase your faith, to go through the trial, through the testing, and through the temptation, that your faith will get stronger, because your faith is worth a lot to God, and he wants to grow that in you. He wants to move your faith from weak faith to strong faith, to great faith. The next point, our Father's heart. Behind this prayer, I really believe our Father's heart, he loves you. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to fall. He doesn't want you to fall into sin. He doesn't want you to fall into sexual sin. He doesn't want you to fall into unbelief. He wants you to be in a place where you'll be protected. And if this does happen, that you'll be in a place of maturity to go forward. I want to just say to you, our Father is for you. He's not against you. He's not here to rob you. He's not here to kill. He's not to steal from you. He wants to add abundant life to you. Your Father is for you. He's not against you. He wants the very best for you. And I say again, our Father actually loves us. And I know as a parent, and I look at my children, and I see the things of life that happen, I don't want them to fall. I don't want them to fall into these things. And I want to protect them as much as I can. Same with our Heavenly Father, with you. He wants to protect you. And that's why He wants us. And I want to say to you, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer, and I say this, and I'm guilty, and I haven't been doing it in this life of the church. We need to be praying the Lord's Prayer. It's not a prayer that needed to be prayed at school. Remember we learned it at school? It's even been taken away. It's something that we learned rote. Let me tell you, there is such power in this prayer. If you pray it with understanding and knowing, like this simple thing, lead us not into temptation. My goodness, you do not know what's ahead of you in the day. And when you pray that, God is going to protect you and guide you, that you don't prematurely fall into. The next one is the importance of the word into. And again, I repeat myself, this word implies that you will not prematurely be tested or fall into a temptation or trial. That's something that is beyond your strength. God doesn't want you to unnecessarily fall into these things. And again, God wants us to be in a place of maturity, and when we're ready in Him, to go forward in that. What is the attitudes to this petition? We shouldn't mock God and say, let us fall into temptation, or actually push the limits with this thing. You know, we know when those things are coming there, and when we play with fire, we're going to get burnt. So don't push God into sin, say, oh, God will just deliver me out of this thing. You know when to say no, and I'm asking you to say no. But then secondly, walk with a godly fear and ask God to actually help you that you don't fall into temptation. And I want to suggest to you is if you pray this prayer, God will protect you from things that you shouldn't be going through. Sometimes we go through things because of our own doing. And it's not, God has got nothing to do with it. We've created that. And if we would pray this prayer that God will protect us, that we will not fall into these things, we will protect ourselves and life, can I say, will be easier. Sometimes the chaos in your life is created by you. It's created by you, and now God's got to get you out of that. And yes, He works all things for the good, but maybe you haven't been obedient, and maybe you haven't been following what the Lord's telling you to do, and that's why you're walking in those difficulties now, and that's why we need to be praying, is that, Lord, protect me, that I don't fall into this temptation, this trial, all this testing. So practically, falling into sin can happen to anyone. I want to say that our hearts need to be pure. In Galatians 6 verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you are spiritual, should restore him gently and watch yourself, or you may be tempted yourself. We shouldn't be carrying a finger and pointing of those that have fallen into sin. We need to restore them. And then practically, why unanswered prayer? In James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, in the King James Version, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, into many kinds of temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works out patience, and let the patience have a perfect work, that you might be perfect and be entire and wanting nothing. So the Greek reads very clearly, count it all joy when you fall into temptations. This is not falling morally, but yet falling into a trial. And we need to honor the trial. Sometimes it might be a gift from God to grow you in Christ. It's important, and the falling is that you didn't create it, God allowed it, and your life might be going hunky-dory, and the next thing, here's this trial. Here's this temptation that comes against you. You didn't do anything about it, but God allowed it. And I think we've got to have the right attitude when it comes to the thing, that you're going to walk through that and allow God to perfect it in and through our lives. It says here to count it pure joy. And the word count is like when we get imputed of righteousness. See it as joy from the Lord. And I think there's a sense of maturity that we really need to grow. The trial that we're going through, we need to see the joy that God is coming through, because then we can dignify the trial and we can work this joy out. I think we're lacking. All of us are lacking joy in this thing. We get down and we lose. Our temperaments become ratty and we become grumpy. But we've got to get into a place of joy in the trial. And I think that's a test for all of us, and including myself, is that when we're going through a trial, is there joy? in spite of what we're going through. And I'm going to tell you, we've got to get our faces right, and we've got to get our hearts right, and because it comes from God. The joy comes from God. Count it pure joy. And when we can get that thing right, God wants us to not be ignorant of the situation, but there needs to be a joy in our hearts. It's not happiness. It's a joy in our heart that comes from God. There's a sense of knowing, there's a sense of peace, knowing that God's in control. And in that, can I say, we're honoring and dignifying the trial, we're giving thanks and we're giving praise in those circumstances. That's tough. That's tough. Will you give thanks in what you're doing when you're going through all this stuff? And will you give praise to God and see, Lord, you're working this for the good. You're working this for the good. Wow. This takes maturity. And we all got some of those things to go through. And I really want to encourage us in that. Matt Redman says, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So in conclusion, there's a reality to this prayer, and I want to encourage us that we need to be in a place that we'll be praying this prayer on a daily basis. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The Lord never said pray and watch. He said watch and pray. Watch and pray. You need to open up your eyes, and you need to see what's around you, that you will not fall into temptation. May God bless you as you understand the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Let us pray. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has spoken to you, and you're going through some of these difficulties in life, and you maybe have fallen and you're unable to pick yourself up. And the message today hasn't been a one of condemnation, but rather of seeing God's grace and seeing His love for you. And He's taken you through these things to bring life and to bring abundant life. But if you're in a place today and you're crying out to God for help and you want Him to break in and to bring peace to your heart, and that you be able to have the strength and the ability by the Holy Spirit to endure and to persevere and to move through this trial, not to remove it, but to go through it and to overcome, to climb the mountain. If you're in that place today and you'd like us to pray with you, you just put your hand up and down. I'd like to pray with you. Is there anyone here today that you're going through some stuff? You see those hands. See those hands. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see those hands of those individuals here today. And Lord, we call upon your name, the name that's above every name. And Lord, we ask that you would just shower your beautiful people with an understanding of your ways, with your grace, a strength, a perspective to go through this trial and to be an overcomer, to dignify the trial and to have your heart and to have your understanding to go through this, Lord. No matter what, trust in you and alone, that you always work for the good as we trust you. And I just pray, Lord, firstly for peace. Put peace in their hearts and in their minds, that they would walk with that assurance in their hearts. And then, Lord, will you go before them and will you open up the way before them and will you be merciful and gracious to them, and may this trial not be too long. May it be quick to be over, Lord, that they can be overcomers in you. Then for the rest of us, Lord, as we face trials and temptations and testing, will you teach us, Lord, to work with you as we go through those things and to work them out to bring honor and glory to you. And may they produce Christ in us, Lord. May they produce faith in us. May they produce this joy, this pure joy that you actually tell us that needs to produce. May we all grow into this place of maturity as we follow you, Lord. And then I just want to say, if there's anyone here today that you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, because you cannot walk life by yourself. You were never created to live without a God. We need a God in our lives. And you may be in this place, and I want to say to you that Jesus is God. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's not only the Lord God Almighty, but He came and paid a price that you can be part of his kingdom. If that's anyone here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to humble yourself and you want to declare him your Lord and your Savior, if there's anyone here today, if you want to just put your hand up, I'd like to pray with you. Is there anyone here today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We commit the rest of this Father's Day to you, and we ask that it be a blessing as we celebrate family. May there be a joy in our hearts, Lord, as we look to you and focus our eyes upon you now. In Jesus' name. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sorry, I ran over a bit of a time. God bless you all. Yeah.